Short and sweet. That's what we've done with this episode of the Vermont Edition podcast. I'm Matthew Smith, producer of Vermont Edition, and I wanted to say thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Last month, the state of Vermont was awarded $1.2 billion from the federal government to help address a wide range of COVID-19-related issues. Governor Phil Scott has outlined plans for the first $400 million. It's money that he says should be allocated immediately. To date, lawmakers have given their approval to plans to spend roughly $93 million. Scott is encouraging lawmakers to quicken their pace before some businesses have to declare bankruptcy.
And I can assure you, these employers are on the brink. Some are weeks or even days away from bankruptcy and shutting their doors forever through no fault of their own. They can't wait another month or two for relief. They need our help now. And that's what this CARES money was meant to do, to help keep our economies on life support until we get them fully restarted.
Well, the details of a much larger package are now being developed by the House Appropriations Committee. The committee is reviewing recent requests from the other 13 standing committees in the House, and final action in the full House is expected in the very near future. What will be the top priorities of these funding decisions, and how soon will the money be channeled towards small businesses and individuals? These are some of the questions we have for our guest today, two people who have spent many hours in the last few months looking at some of the ways that Vermont has been significantly affected by the coronavirus pandemic. With us today, House Speaker Mitzi Johnson and also Danville Representative Kitty Toll, who is the chairperson of the House Appropriations Committee. Really appreciate both of you taking the time to be with us today. Thanks very much.
Happy to be here, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Speaker Johnson, before we get to the details of how this federal money might be spent to help businesses and individuals who've been adversely affected by the coronavirus, I'd like to give you a chance to respond to the governor's complaints last Friday that the House is taking way too much time deliberating over these issues while the people who need the money are struggling to survive.
Well, you know, Bob, it's clear that the governor has shifted his focus, frankly, to his campaign. It's a really disappointing assertion. We got the money way back in early April. It took the governor probably 7 weeks to get the legislature a plan for that money, and we turned it around in less than 2 weeks. When I spoke with the governor early last week to say we are well on our way, we're wrapping things up, we understand the urgency, so we're going to super fast track close to $100 million to get that out the door, with the rest following shortly behind. Then he said that sounds good. So for him to take 7 weeks and then criticize the legislature for taking less than two is a little disingenuous. I really hope we can get back to the place that we had been in for the first 2.5 months of this crisis, where we're all working together. And by the end of this week, the House will have voted on basically the full package. You know, we'll have $100 million of plan, or we'll have $1 billion either allocated, already voted on, or on its way out the door in just a couple of days.
So are you hoping when the House considers this bill later this week, do you see it considering one massive budget bill, or will you be taking the requests from each of the committees one at a time?
We're clustering them. It's a lot of information to process. If it were all in one place, it also means that if it were all in one bill, it would mean that none of it would get out the door until the last hiccup on the last piece were resolved. That's why we chose to break it up a little bit, and that's why we took sort of the easy pieces that were widely agreed upon to get out the door quickly. There were parts of the governor's proposal that businesses didn't want. You know, businesses said, no, don't give us all these grants. We don't need more debt. There were parts of the governor's proposal that legal counsel came back and said, this actually isn't even eligible for CRF money. So there were parts of the governor's proposal that that really didn't meet the needs of Vermonters or didn't meet the qualifications of the money. So we picked out some significant pieces, again, nearly $100 million worth, to move quickly, get out the door, and folks can apply for that money. I'm actually signing the bill today, and it will get to the governor's desk, and then it will just be a matter of them processing any loans and or processing not loans, processing the applications to get the grants out the door. And then to answer your other question, there will probably have three other bills. The agriculture bill came from the Senate. Representative Toll, who's chair of the Appropriations Committee on the call, she can speak to the two bills her committee is voting on today, and the Commerce Committee will be finalizing the remainder of their recommendations in a day or two.
Representative Toll, just Speaker Johnson mentioned the money that has already been approved and is on its way to the governor's desk, that $93 million. I think about $73 million is targeted at economic recovery grants for businesses. Could you just explain that program to us a little bit so businesses understand what might be eligible?
Sure. And thank you for the opportunity. It's a pleasure to be on. The grants that are going out in the bill that has been passed, there's a total of $93 million, and there's $70 million of grants in this package and another $80 million that will be following. I believe House Commerce plans to have that bill out on Thursday. And the one big difference between this proposal and the administration's proposal is loans versus grants. And the administration included some loans. And this proposal will allow for entities that have seen a 75% reduction in 1 month, and it lists the months that are available, can apply for these grants. The second round, the second phase that is going out on Thursday, would be for additional grants, not loans. These will not have to be paid back because that became very problematic, paying back to the federal government. And the second phase will include business entities, and this could include nonprofits, arts groups. You know, it's the whole gamut that have realized 50% reduction, loss, I should say, loss in business. And that is a Thursday bill.
What kind of grants are we looking at here? What are the size of these grants? Does it depend on the type of business it is and how much business they've lost because of COVID-19?
The grants will vary in size, and I may message back here to the speaker to do the detail on the grants. This money will go to the administration, and the administration will set up the framework for entities to be able to apply and to receive grants. And so much of that detail, this is the broader framework, and much of that detail will be determined by the administration to determine the size of the grants and getting them out the door as quickly as possible.
Speaker Johnson, there are some pretty big ticket items in this legislation. I mean, I looked at the recommendations for health care. I think there's close to $100 or $150 million for the health care provider stabilization fund. Is this to recognize that our health care industry has just been decimated in the last 3 months?
That is correct. And actually, Representative Toll has some terrific news on that. It's been a place that we have really been concerned about. Our healthcare system really stepped up. If you remember, right now we're thinking about when can more businesses open? When can we go out and meet our friends, for dinner? you know, some people are, of course, still thinking about when am I going to get a call back from the Department of Labor about my UI check that I haven't gotten in 4 months. But there's a lot of folks just concerned about economy reopening. 3 months ago when this started, our concerns were, do we have enough ICU beds? Do we have enough ventilators if Vermont needs them? And it was terrifying. And our healthcare system stepped up dramatically. They also just like businesses got shut down and didn't have customers, a lot of the healthcare system got shut down, and there were a lot of healthcare procedures that didn't happen. And there is lost revenue for that. And our healthcare system, from our community providers, right through our rural and large hospitals, are really struggling right now. So actually, Representative Toll, I'll let her share the good news. But we've worked really hard to try to bump up that amount of money that gets shared across primary care physicians and dentists and mental health specialists, substance abuse provider treatment providers. So, Kitty, your committee is working on this right now. And what's the number you are at currently for the healthcare provider fund?
Sure. Thanks, Mitzi. We do have some new proposals on the table, and we will be taking a vote at 1 o'clock today. The proposal that came to us was $139 million for stabilization activities to support the healthcare system, along with $11 million additional money for community supports and suicide prevention and many other supports for individuals that are in communities, including those that feel that they may not to address disparities within the healthcare system for such things as race or ethnicity, immigration status, immigrant status, sexual orientation, et cetera. And so that was an $11 million package with the $139. This morning, our committee voted to bring the stabilization efforts of the healthcare system to over $250 million. And so the whole package with all the human services activities, the public health, and the stabilization programs for the healthcare system will be a $300 million package that we will vote on at 1 o'clock today. And following that vote, we will also be taking a vote on a housing package that the initial phase was a $52 million housing package, and there's another housing service package that will be included, which is over $20 million, that addresses concerns within the Department of Children and Families. And that bill will be included with a broadband bill that has over $43 million. And so we will be getting out over another $100 million with broadband and housing. And so we will have quite a day today in House Appropriations voting out over $400 million worth of supports directly to Vermonters.
And Representative Toll, just to put all this money in perspective, Vermont's general fund budget on an annual basis is how much?
$1.6 billion, between $1.6 and $1.7 billion.
So you're talking about looking at a package of spending $1.2 billion. You're talking about something that's almost the size of the entire general fund budget.
Yes, we are. And also with that $1.25 billion from the federal government, we have very strict guidance to follow. And if that guidance is not followed, we owe those dollars back. And one stipulation that is very important for Vermonters to know, not only do we have to have these dollars out the door, but the entity that receives them actually has to have them spent by December 30th. They just can't be out the door and allocated, but they have to be spent. So the tracking of these dollars is going to be immense. Tracked for the fact that they're used correctly according to the guidance and rules, and the fact that they are completely used. And if they're not, we have to roll them back and either have them reinvested, reallocated by December 30th, or return them to the federal government.
Today in the program, we're taking a look at how, yes, Speaker Johnson.
Oh, I was just going to say, in addition to that, there's quite a bit of money that is not going through the Coronavirus Relief Fund, which is the $1.25 billion. There's the $1.2 billion that Vermont businesses got in PPP, which are, you know, loans that get converted to grants under certain circumstances. There's another $142 million in federal loans. There's another $250 million in the CARES Act that's not coronavirus relief for specific purposes. And there's, I forget how much, but it is in the hundreds of millions of dollars going out through UI and pandemic unemployment assistance. So there is a tremendous amount of money and tracking and accountability being managed so that we can get Vermonters through this crisis and make sure that you know, we're taking care of their health needs, Vermonters' very basic needs, and that we're setting the economy up to be able to recover quickly and fully.
Let's talk to John, who is calling from Stratford. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bob. First, I'd like to thank Representative Toll for her service and express my regret at her decision not to run again. Appreciate all she's done. My question is, we're looking at a $176 million deficit in the educational fund this year due to things like less sales and use tax, rooms and meals tax. How can we use this COVID money to fill in that gap? And if not, how is the legislature going to fill in the projected $176 million deficit?
I assume that is for me or the speaker.
Sure, Representative Toll, or either one of you. Sure,
whatever you'd like, Kitty. I can grab it if you want.
You can start, and then I can add in.
Okay. So I think right now we're looking at an FY21 shortfall of $109 million. So the news has been moving in the right direction. Sales and use tax, which goes almost entirely into the education fund, has not performed as poorly as projected, mostly because of the federal court decision on internet sales. We have one of the bills moving through the House with our transitional budget is to put $50 million of CRF money into schools for learning to reduce pressure on schools and to address some of the learning challenges and cost needs of our schools, including devices or improved PP or improved cleaning supplies and HVAC systems. We also are looking at ways, I know schools have been working very hard, districts have been working hard to get us information on what expenses in their existing budgets are coronavirus relief, or in their existing expenditures, not their budgets, but their expenditures are eligible for coronavirus relief fund to begin to take the edge off. We, at this moment, the federal government has said that you may not use coronavirus relief funds for state revenue shortfalls. Our federal delegation has told us, and the Secretary of the Treasury at the federal level has mentioned that there's active conversation about opening up the use of that money. So we do think it is prudent to have a little bit of money for either this or other emergencies that come up, so that this money doesn't wind up on the backs of property taxpayers. The legislature is really committed to make sure that the state government somehow manages manages the shortfalls due to the coronavirus, and you know, and that property taxpayers just remain connected with the budgets that they vote and the expenditures in support of their schools. So we don't have a specific answer right now, but the news has moved in the right direction. We are slowly nibbling away at that amount, and that we hope that in the federal deliberations over the next couple of months before we come back in August to finalize our budget, that we have a little bit more flexibility there. But we are working on that in the meantime, on a plan B if we don't get that flexibility.
And Representative Toll, as you look ahead to the state's budget for FY 2021, I know you're doing it in stages. There's some talk of a second federal stimulus package that would help states and municipalities, and as Speaker Johnson just said, not be restricted money, that it could be used to backfill lost tax revenue. What kind of deficit are you looking at for FY 2021? Is it something in the neighborhood of $300 million or so?
The neighborhood that I think that we're looking at now is in just over $200 million. And I shouldn't use the word just. That is a significant amount of money. But at this point, it's just over $200 million. And we will, you know, if we receive more money from the federal government through the HEROES Act or some other means, that will allow us to apply it to lost revenue, that will greatly help us out. I do have to say that Vermont, even though we sometimes do get some negative press, we have secured a good amount of reserves that will not totally take care of the problem, but it will certainly help soften the blow of these lost revenues. And compared to other states, our reserve percentage is very high, and I can even say enviable by other state standards. And they're not going to solve the problem, but they will certainly help.
Speaker Johnson, I know that the Ways and Means Committee in the House was looking at the possibility, considering some sort of tax holiday coming up. I'm not sure if it was for the rooms and meals tax or the sales tax. Do you think we're going to see something like that?
They were talking about a meals tax holiday. In thinking about the coronavirus relief fund that is available to us, rather than just sort of going exactly with whatever recommendations came from the administration, I asked all committees to buckle down and look at how either the pandemic or the economic crisis as a result of that was affecting their area of jurisdiction. And we came up with a really broad range of of ideas to help Vermont out much more so than we were getting from the administration. And one of those ideas involved having to setting aside some money to look at how to help businesses that have really been hurt dramatically by this. And there are a lot of categories of businesses in that arena, but our restaurant industry is one of those. They're a really important part of the fabric of our downtowns and our communities. They are a key part of our farms and craft beer industries, local wines and ciders that we have, and a big part of our tourism industry. And so one of the ideas that the Ways and Means Committee posed to Appropriations and Commerce was to create a tax holiday for a meals tax, just to help build a little consumer confidence and give Vermonters a break and let them go out and inspire a little more business for a hurting industry. So Commerce is the Commerce Committee is finalizing their recommendations as I said, in the next day or two on that.
So how long, how long would that tax holiday last? Would it be a one-day thing or a 1 week?
No, it would certainly be longer than a day. And honestly, the Joint Fiscal Committee is looking into roughly what that rough that is. I don't have more details on that because they're still deciding that. They're still balancing all of the various requests that have been made. The Commerce Committee is looking at a wide range of things, you know, just more business grants to put out there, as Representative Toll mentioned earlier, for businesses that meet a slightly lower threshold of 50% loss rather than the 75% early on. They're looking at how to make sure that we're able to assist all businesses. So they're considering things in the category of micro businesses, that where we have a very good track record for getting businesses established, particularly in the area of folks working with their CAP agencies and moving Vermonters out of poverty, specific grants to businesses owned by women and people of color, or certain sectors, really trying to go across that sector, across all sectors of the Vermont economy, including our rural economy as well, and the types of businesses in our rural economy. So they're balancing all of those needs. So I should have an answer just in a day or two about what that would look like, how long it would last. And we're also, again, still trying to sort through which of these things are even eligible to use coronavirus relief funds for.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Dale in Cabot. Hi, Dale. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Kitty Toll and I have had this conversation via email before the pandemic, and I've also written back and forth to the Governor Scott's office. I'm a business owner in Cabot. We own two businesses. I know there was some movement prior pandemic for the state to step up and really get the project of the Lamoille Valley Rail Trail completed. And obviously, I don't know all the details of this $1.2 billion that you're discussing, but it would be incredible if somehow, for the sake of construction job, I have had such a high regard for the community use of the LVRT since it opened up, and my opinion of the number of people using it has just gone sky high since the pandemic, both for physical well-being and emotional and psychological well-being. It's an incredibly important part of the Vermont community now, and I would love to see us step up and get it finished.
Thank you. Thank you, Dale. I'm sorry. May I jump in on this one?
Please do.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Dale, for your call. Yes, the funding for the Lamoille Valley Rail Trail is in the quarter-year budget. This year, we have divided the FY21 budget into two pieces, and we have passed out the first quarter that will end on September 30th. And within that quarter-year budget is funding for the Lamoille Valley Rail Trail. It is coming in stages, but the funding is there and the full commitment is there. And we're very excited about this. I was going to add something differently, but is that all right to do at this point?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I did want to mention to anyone that is listening, if they would like to follow all of the federal dollars that have come in and what they have been spent on, there's three sites to go and find those. The administration has a tracking document, a COVID tracking document. If you Google Vermont Legislature and you go to the Vermont Legislature webpage and you go to the Joint Fiscal Office, there's an entire tracking of all the federal dollars that have come in. And also the Office of the Vermont State Auditor is doing a tracking of all the federal dollars. And on his site, it shows that through the mechanisms that Mitzi had talked about earlier, money that went directly to hospitals and to higher education, our community health centers, plus this $1.25 billion and others, that over $3.8 billion has come into Vermont to help assist Vermonters. And all of that can be tracked on the three sites that I just stated.
Thank you very much for that information, and we will make sure that there are links at our website at vpr.org so folks can click on that and see how the money is being dispersed. We did get this email from Ellen, who is also the president of the Vermont Camp Association, who writes, I would like to ask the legislators what they can do to support the summer camps that are not able to open this summer due to COVID-19. Unlike other business models, when summer camps close for the season, they lose an entire year's income. Due to these closures, there are camps that will go out of business for good if there's not some relief from the state or the federal government. Representative Toll, any help in the legislation for summer camps?
Well, if they're a nonprofit organization and they're showing a 75% loss or 50% loss in any of the one of the months that are listed within the bill, they should apply for the grants. These are not loans. These are grants that go directly out to entities. And that would be the first step. The second step, I would say, is to contact the federal delegation, you know, contact Senator Leahy's office or Senator Sanders or Representative Welch's office and ask where they might fit in one of the federal programs.
Speaker Johnson, the Energy and Technology Committee also has a bold proposal to spend about $43 million. And in just with full transparency, I want to mention that the House Energy and Technology Committee is recommending a one-time grant of $100,000 to Vermont Public Radio for, quote, unbudgeted and unplanned expanded education programming aired in response to school closures during the pandemic. Big chunk of money, though, for broadband across the state, about $13 million. And I guess this pandemic has really showed us the importance of having broadband access everywhere in the state, from people who are telecommuting, telehealth, educational services being brought online. Is this finally going to do it for the state?
Oh, Bob, sadly, no. To be quite blunt, because of the limitations of the federal money, I told the Chair Tim Briglin and Vice Chair Laura Sebelia to be as aggressive as they could in really getting out broadband, and said, if you need more money, let's figure it out, because this is critical in a world where for a while there are going to be more people working from home. There are going to be people learning from home, whether at a college level or, you know, or certainly this year with any, you know, K-12 activity in Vermont. But the money has to be spent, and it has to be used. We can't just pay a contractor ahead of time for work that they do next year. We can't just roll out another couple of miles of fiber somewhere and not connect houses. So there are very significant restrictions in this money. We think that this will help. This $43 million, keep in mind that about half of it is to help with really with households that are really struggling. Just two of our rural electric co-ops have seen a 250% increase just in a month in their arrearages. So half of this money is used for utility arrearages, so that people's power doesn't get shut off and so that money doesn't get shifted to other ratepayers. But the Energy and Technology Committee worked in a very cooperative way to really push out as much high speed internet as they can, provided that it is implemented and houses are hooked up by December 31st.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Ben, who's calling from Montpelier. Hey Ben, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question has to do with the protection of children during this time. The children have become under increased risk due to the coronavirus. My question is, what percent of this federal money is going to go to DCS, Child Protective Services, as well as to the general school system?
That's a great question, Ben. I don't know that I have an exact percentage here. Could certainly get that. It's just going to take a little more slicing and dicing. There is a significant amount of money that went out through our joint fiscal process early on. I think, you know, just before a quick break, Bob said something about the first $93 million has gone out the door. That's actually not quite right. We're at about $300 million out the door so far, because some of it went early on in real emergency stuff. And there was quite a bit that went out there to DCF, to the Office of Child Support, and to Reach Up, to the Child Development Division, to the Family Services Division. All of all of those agencies were working to support families. It's been an enormous concern in all of this with a shutdown and people at home. Families are under a lot more stress, and children that are in households that are unsafe or are highly stressed, or there's trauma happening, those kids are no longer in regular contact with people who would otherwise be mandatory reporters, their teachers, their coaches, their faith leaders. And we've been terribly concerned about these kids, not only about how kids without supports are falling behind in school, but about how they are increasingly unsafe. So there have been grants that have gone out for families in crisis, and schools have stepped up in the best way they can. So those are some of the very early grants that I talked about. There's
Mitzi, can I add from the bill that we're voting out at 1 o'clock?
Yes, please.
I certainly don't mean to interrupt the speaker, but at
no,
1 o'clock,
go right ahead. You've got the up-to-date information.
At 1 o'clock, as part of the $300 million package that I talked about that contained both human services and healthcare activities, for human services specifically, there is money for restart grants, which includes child care providers and after school and summer camps, and that's a $9 million investment. We also are including $12 million for summer school meals so that children will eat. And even if they can't come to the school where they have a community to come and eat during the summer, the meals will be delivered. There's also money going out just shy of $4 million to the parent-child centers for support for families. There's money going into children's integrated services. We're going to do some supplemental reach-up grants. There's money going into the Junior League Diaper Bank to help families, because that's a tremendous cost on families. And so within this bill, there are some pieces, as well as in the housing bill, I talked about the DCF housing supports, and these are specific supports to go in and create stable housing for families. And that is with total dollars, it's over a $20 million investment. And so there are these pieces that will go out to help families and directly help the children in those families.
Ben, thanks very much for your phone call. Speaker Johnson, there's also a good chunk of money in this bill that recognizes that a lot of people have been laid off from their jobs in the last 3 months. I think about 40% of Vermont's workforce has applied for unemployment benefits in the last 90 days. Not all of them have been approved, but it's pretty staggering to think that 40% have actually applied. And in this bill, there's, I think, $30 million for rental eviction protection. How is that going to work?
Yes, there is $30 million for rental assistance. Those are grants that that's money that will be held by part of the administration, and folks can apply there. I don't have the refined details on that. I think it's getting finalized today. We have what I hear from the chair of that committee is that they've seen a little bit of pressure there, but not as much as they were expecting. In part because so many folks living, frankly, on a financial edge, if they were able to get their unemployment insurance sorted out, there is the federal bump. There's, per the federal government, there's a $600 bump in your unemployment, so that some people with very low wages are actually seeing that they're making just as much, if not a bit more, under UI. The problem, we think, will come in August and September when that federal bump runs out, and if people are not able to fully get back to work by then, which is going to be tough if we're still operating at, you know, a certain percentage capacity, that we want to make sure that there is money available, to make sure that people don't become homeless. It is so much more cost effective and safer for the family, and just better for all outcomes, both the human and financial outcomes, to keep people housed rather than let them become homeless and try to rehouse them.
Let's get a quick call in from Jennifer in Morrisville. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the program.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I own a consignment store, a women's consignment store, Creative Consignments in Stowe. And I've been really following the grant money. And it's my understanding that the money will be allocated based on your sales tax. Now, clothing and shoes are not taxed, so my tax bill is very low. Are there allowances being made for businesses like mine?
Yes, there are. There's some of the money that is for businesses that collect what are called trust taxes, the sales tax, use tax, meals and rooms, and there is some money for businesses that do not.
Jennifer, are you hoping to get a grant to be able to stay in business?
Oh, absolutely. It's been 19 years and I, made it through the recession and, providing a service of quality goods at a lower cost and keeping the items out of the landfill. I think it's really important that stores like mine stay in business, but, it's really dropping off and people are going to be pulling back financially as from a psychological aspect. And my numbers are just, I will do the best I can, but it would be wonderful to be able to plow through this.
Jennifer,
we're doing
much
as much
as phone call.
I just wanted to add that, Jennifer, we're doing as much as we can, Jennifer, to make sure that the grants are available to a wide range of businesses. And again, we're creating some flexibility here, quite a bit of flexibility, so that the administration can be more nimble in setting some of those standards and responding. But we are very carefully saying that there's money needs to be available, to businesses, whether or not they collect those sales taxes.
We are almost out of time, but Representative Toll, very briefly, could you tell us what is in the bill that might be of assistance for dairy farmers and other agricultural enterprises in Vermont?
Yes, there is. There are two bills. The Senate bill was just sent to our committee, and tomorrow we are taking testimony on that. Yesterday, we heard from the House Agriculture Committee, and the bill is divided up into parts, and part of it is supports for dairy farmers based on their certification, whether they're a small farm, medium farm, or large farm. And then there's other pieces in the bill that go out to other types of farming for growers and that are outside of the dairy. our committee is just starting our work on this bill, and we have not set a target at this point. What number that we will come up with? We are looking to compare the Senate version to the House version, and that is on our agenda for tomorrow morning.
And is it considering the just incredible drop in milk prices for dairy farmers to try to alleviate that to some degree?
Yes, the milk prices were hoping to get up to about $20 per 100 weight prior to COVID-19, and they have tanked anywhere from $10 to $13, which nowhere pays for the cost of production of 100 weight of milk. And so the House version does concentrate mostly primarily on dairy, and that it also does look at the dairy processors. It's a Senate bill that also does more with diversified farming, which would be the growers, basically the growers.
Well, these are very important issues to all Vermonters. House Speaker Mitzi Johnson and House Appropriations Chairperson Kitty Tol, many thanks for being on the program today and taking the time to explain this very important bill to us.
Thanks so much for having us, Bob.
Thank you for the opportunity.